This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. Wow, that's the feeblest my voice has ever sounded. DGS, a few minutes past 6 p.m.
Welcome back.
It's only 20 years. Welcome back. So in an absolute naked, unabashed effort to make you listen to the 6 p.m. hour, we've decided to turn to our friends within the building and try to each day have a special guest star on during this time. And we're kicking it off with Amy Markscores from KMOX. Good to see you. How are you?
Hey, good to see you.
I was telling Rach earlier that I always hear you guys in the bathroom because it's, you know, we play the different stations in the bathroom. And I happened to catch, I didn't know who it was. I didn't know that it was Charlie, and I didn't know that it was you. And I was trying to figure out, like, what morning show do we have that would be doing, like, a play, like, impressions about Steve Stanger? Like, that's not my friend Amy, who sounds like James Cagney, so.
That's right. We did. We have been doing Stanger Theater, as we're calling it, because I'm not sure if you're reading these reports that are being released that have quotes from Stanger, and they are very prolific quotes because he wore his buddies around him were wearing mics for a year. So you have all of these nasty R-rated quotes from Steve Stanger that we somehow make a little bit more PG. Mm-hmm. Either by changing the words or leaving certain words out, we throw in some Godfather music, some gangster accents, and we're having a ball with it.
You know, man, I'm sorry. He got what he deserved. It's a good thing he's going to jail. But God help any of us if our friends wore a mic for a year.
Man, I was just thinking that. I mean, I know that he deserved to be caught, but I kind of feel for the guy. I mean, my goodness.
You're at least going to bad friend jail. Mm-hmm.
Yes, no, definitely. And I think these were, what's amazing, that they restricted the release transcripts to his professional quotes. These are his quotes,
man.
Just interacting with people that he works with, including Sheila Sweeney. I did play the part of Sheila Sweeney for a while in today's Stanger Theater, and she also had a mouth like a sailor at times.
Yeah, well, so we haven't talked to you in a long time. Tell us about your thoughts and opinions on what's going on with Omar and Tlaib.
Right, so Representatives Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib have this squabble now going down with Israel. They were already at odds with Trump, and they had this plan to go to Israel, and Trump tweeted out that it'd be very weak of Israel, specifically Netanyahu, if he allowed Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar in the country, and Netanyahu goes ahead and said, that's right, we're not going to allow you into the country. A few things that people need to know. Israel has already had in the books a law that says if you are supporting BDS and you are going to Israel to agitate against Israel, they can deny you entry into their country.
Explain to people what BDS is.
BDS is Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions. It's a movement of economic warfare against Israel to cut off all relations, economic relations with Israel, to starve the country. The BDS movement also denies Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state. It's incredibly anti-Israel, but also anti-Semitic in nature. Now, on the surface, I really think Israel should have gone ahead and let Omar and Tlaib in. I know it's already on the books that you can deny people entry because of BDS associations, but they are U.S. congresswomen, and Israel always loses the PR battle. Here's a country that's just trying to exist. It's like the size of New Jersey. It's surrounded by Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Libya, Jordan, all these countries that want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. They just want to survive. One of my friends who lives in Tel Aviv said if we could have a motto, it would just be Leave us the F alone. Just let us survive. So now you've got Iran launching missiles. You've got missiles coming from Gaza. Israel tries to defend itself and, of course, is cast as the provocateur. So in this case, knowing what it would look like, knowing what the optics would be, I think Netanyahu should have let the U.S. Congresswomen in and let them make the headlines for themselves. Instead, Omar and Tlaib got the headlines they wanted. Now, there was an addendum to this story that Rashida Tlaib wanted to see her grandmother, who lives in Palestine, as she calls it, and said, wrote a letter to Israel. The letter's been released. It's on U.S. congressional paper saying, I just want to visit my grandma. She's 90 years old. This might be the last chance I get to see her. I will obey and respect any restrictions you put on me. The government says of Israel said, okay, come on in. Just don't promote BDS. Rashida Tlaib changes her mind. Sorry, Grandma, I hate Israel more than I love you, effectively, is what she is saying. Now, what's amazing to me in all of this is the whitewashing of the trip, and specifically of the group that Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib were going with. The headlines should have been that two U.S. congresswomen shun a bipartisan congressional trip to Israel, instead decide to go on their own with an organization that is flagrantly anti-Semitic. And that organization is MFTA. And MFTA, which was organizing this whole trip for Omar and Tlaib, they promote the blood libel anti-Semitic trope.
Wow.
Which is that Jews use the blood of Christians in the Jewish Passover.
Wow.
This is one of the worst anti-Semitic tropes that exists. And if you go to the MFTA website, and I started scouring the MFTA website because of Seth Mandel, who had a Twitter thread explaining what MFTA does. They praise terrorists. They praise terrorists who have killed women and children in Israel as national heroes. They continue to spread the blood libel, and they both Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar in this whole event, if that wasn't enough being associated with MFTA, have also shared a cartoon that shows Omar and Tlaib as victims. And that cartoon was drawn by a famous Holocaust denier and, in fact, a winner of a contest for Holocaust cartoons. So you look at the associations.
Didn't know they had such a contest.
Yeah, I know. You wouldn't think that it'd be a popular one, but Omar and Tlaib found it. So the fact that the true nature of MFTA and how flagrantly anti-Semitic that organization is has been completely whitewashed by the New York Times and the Washington Post, who just describe it as a pro-Palestinian organization, is a flagrant lie by omission.
I've not even heard it on Fox. It's the first time I've heard it.
You can go, so it's MIFTAH is MFTA, and I want to get my notes here, because they were so, the website was so rife with anti-Semitic tropes and libels that it's shocking. And here's the thing, too. Denying someone entry to a democratic country is not unprecedented. The Obama administration did it with Michael Ben-Ari, who is a member of the far, far right extremist Israeli Kok Party. I think that's how you would say it. But no more extreme than Tlaib and Omar's sentiments. Recently, the U.S. denied entry to Hanan Ashrawi, who was the one of the founders of BDS and also of MFTA, and who was organizing this trip with Omar and Tlaib.
So why do you think the media is too afraid to call this what it is? Like, why aren't we hearing about this?
Right. You know, that is a million-dollar question, to be honest. When you look at the coverage that Israel gets on a daily basis, what you're not hearing, for instance, is just yesterday in Gaza, which is run by Hamas, a terrorist group, the Palestinian Authority denied and was imprisoning LGBT community members. They wanted to have this LGBT group in Palestine, in Gaza, wanted to have a, I think it was some type of conference or march. And the Palestinian Authority said, no, you can't do this. It's against the law. You don't hear that, though. And Omar and Tlaib aren't boycotting the human rights violations going on right there in Gaza. You see two Israeli teenagers were run over on the side of the road a couple of days ago by a Palestinian terrorist. A baby was shot just a couple days ago. You're seeing civilians being targeted. These missiles are being launched from Gaza. Israel tries to defend itself and does so very well, and yet Israel is often painted as the aggressor. And it's just mind-boggling to me.
This really does show the power of having the media behind your cause.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, we're going to leave that out. I've not even heard that on Fox News, much less anywhere else. But then just to push whatever narrative you want, because most people, let's face it, aren't 10% as invested in this stuff as we are.
Right.
So most people just, you know, walk past the television, see a headline, see a scroll, hear half a story, accept it as fact, and move on.
Well, and also the itinerary for Tlaib and Omar, that's available. None of the media is looking at the itinerary. No one found it odd that in the entire official itinerary for Tlaib and Omar, not once is the word Israel used. It's Palestine, because they don't recognize right of a Jewish state in Israel. It's called Palestine in their entire itinerary. And they also had no plans in the printed itinerary to meet with any Israeli government officials. This was not a trip. This was not a peacekeeping trip. This was a trip to further anti-Semitic aggression and sentiments. This is a trip from someone like Ilhan Omar, who introduced into the United States legislature a BDS legislation law that somehow the United States would adopt this. And of course they didn't. It was overwhelmingly voted down, because support of Israel has always been a bipartisan issue. And now, again, despite this onslaught of pro-Palestinian, often pro-terrorist, and I'm not being hyperbolic here, Rashida Tlaib has had pictures taken with pro-terrorism. Mifta is pro-terrorist. All of this background, all of these associations are fading away, and all you see is the headline that Netanyahu and Israel deny two U.S. congresswomen entry.
I agree with you, too. As, you know, strategy is always 20/20 in hindsight, but no one allows their, just use the word enemy, to mess up anymore. We have to, like, I agree with you. The very first time I heard this, my first impression was, let them go. Let them be the headline. Let them say whatever terrible things they're going to say. Don't look like the bad. Don't make it so easy for them to look like the bad guy.
Right, right. No, absolutely. And, you know, this is really interesting. Benjamin Netanyahu admires Winston Churchill, I think often sees himself playing a bit of a role, a Churchillian role. And Churchill, when he left the UK cabinet in 1955, said, never separate from the Americans. That was his piece of advice. And Netanyahu has taken that to heart. The problem is, and I thought this was stated beautifully by Barry Weiss in the New York Times, right now, Netanyahu has aligned himself with the most powerful American, but because he is so divisive that in many ways he has separated himself from the majority or a large number of Americans in this case. And I think we have given Tlaib and Omar a temporary victory. I hope it's temporary. Mm-hmm. I hope people can see the truth in their agenda and that it is, to be quite frank, anti-Semitic, because you can criticize the Israeli government without being anti-Semitic. You can look at the government policies objectively, but that is not what Tlaib and Omar are doing, and it is false and misleading to pretend like it is.
See how impressive it is. You can do this, and you can do gangster voices. No wonder Charlie grabbed you. So tell everyone where they can find you.
Yes, I'm on the Charlie Brennan Show on KMOX. We are on 9 to 11, Monday through Thursday. We also do the fun overtime segment, which is 8:30 to 9 every day as well, over on KMOX.
Very nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Welcome back. Happy Monday. FM News Talk 97.1 DGS. Get your VIP tickets Friday and Saturday to Midwest Wing Fest, which really is the best deal you're ever going to get. Typically, to see, like, you know, even regional bands play, $45 would not be a terrible ticket. And coming up next Friday, my band is opening for the Well Hungarians. And the next day you have national acts at Midwest Wing Fest, which are at St. Clair Square. On Friday night, when my band and the Well Hungarians are there, $45 gets you into the VIP area, which is covered, which is air conditioned, which has private bathrooms, and all you can eat dandy and wings, and all you can drink beer until midnight. Pretty damn good deal. The next day, Saturday, I come back with my buddy Courtney from Courtney and Company, and we are your host and hostess for the evening, and that is $60 for the same deal. So go to 971talk.com/events to get your tickets. Rach, got stuff?
I do. I'm going to look up to see who is playing Saturday night.
I don't think it matters. I don't think anyone out there cares.
Okay, never mind.
It's all about Friday night.
I feel like such a jerk at all you can eat anything, because I pretty much sit down, I get my first order, and I tell them my second order right away.
Well, yeah.
Is that common?
Do you ever do a shrimp fest at Red Lobster?
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
So the first time I did, is it called Shrimp Fest? Am I getting that right? It's like unlimited shrimp.
Or Lobster Fest. They do all different ones.
The first time I went, I thought you had to clear your plate before they brought the next round of shrimp. And I felt like a fool. And of course, I started with the linguine, which is my favorite. So then I was like uncomfortably full, not realizing, I can bring all of this home with me. And I shall.
We had, it's been a couple years ago, but we had a thing in our show prep about, because you would think, you go to an all-you-can-eat place and you're like, I just wrecked that place. And the average person, like at a Chinese buffet, eats $1.85 worth of food.
That doesn't surprise me. The older I get, the more I'm like, this is not worth it. When I was in college, it was worth it, though.
Yeah.
I would go for plate after plate after plate, and then the giantest ice cream cone I could on the way out the door.
I remember years ago being at Maristar at the buffet, crab leg buffet, and, you know, I'm eating a lot, but then I see this couple, I'm not exaggerating, they have crab legs stacked as high as they had to hold their hand on top of them. So like 12, 18 inches high. It looked like a cartoon. And I was mad at them. I mean, I didn't say anything because I'm a punk, but I was mad at them like, what a couple of big fat Hoosier losers. You're never going to eat all this crab, and I'll be damned if they didn't suck down every sweet piece of crab meat on that plate.
I don't think you're a punk for not saying that.
Yeah, how do you really feel about it?
It was nice of you to not say it.
You big fat idiot. I'm not your punk.
I'm not a punk, so I'm going to tell you how I feel, you Hoosier.
I would think just the logistics of eating them while holding them would be hard.
Like you can go back.
Exactly.
That's the gig.
Yeah, it seems so stressful to, you know, a lot of the times I get stressed out at places like that because it's like, I got to get my money's worth. I got to blah, blah, blah. And then you end up behaving in ways you shouldn't behave.
I saw two guys that seemed to be normal come to literal blows at it's wherever Penn and Teller are. I forget which casino that is in Vegas, but one of the big ones. They are known for their seafood buffet. And at the moment, they were out of crab legs. And these two guys literally started punching each other.
Over the
what
last
was left.
One?
And this is like 7 p.m. It's like, I'm pretty sure they're bringing more.
I'm sorry, that was the last chocolate cake you will ever see at this buffet.
This is like a meme in our family now, but when Nick was little, we were in Chicago at one of the places that you stay, and they have like a big, you know, free breakfast thing. And two guys that had to be in their 60s or 70s, almost physically fist fought over jelly. Like, standing in line. And they look like two well-to-do guys. And I forget what the kerfuffle was, but they were like, you know, Popeye and Bluto.
Are you a buffet guy?
Oh, I used to be. I haven't been to a buffet in a long time.
When you were Big Fat Dave.
Oh, yeah. Big Fat Dave was definitely. Nick had a stomach issue, we found, when he had his appendix out. There's some little flap that causes you to get acid reflux really bad. And little Japanese-looking fat Nick and I used to go, and that poor kid would just throw up.
Oh.
When he got home, I'd be like, buddy.
You got to stop taking your child to the buffet if they throw up every time.
I don't think I have to do anything.
Yeah, it's still a good deal.
If you don't throw up, I'm going to know you didn't eat enough to get dad's money's worth. My dad would always say that to me because I was little and I didn't like to eat a ton. I didn't, you know, generally you hit puberty before you really start pigging out. But he would be like, you got to make sure I get my money's worth, Rach, every time we would go to a Chinese buffet. So I had to get at least two plates.
Speaking of very uninteresting facts, nobody can figure this out. and neither can I, but anytime I drink water is the only time I get acid reflux.
That's very strange.
It doesn't make any
extremely,
sense.
Like, that sounds like a health issue.
Like I'm dehydrated?
Like the one time you put something in your body that's good for
sugar.
It, it rejects it. So used to you drinking like Mountain Dew.
Well, here's the other thing. It's because I have my mini fridge next to my bed, as you know.
Yeah.
Sexy.
So I pull it out in the middle of the night a lot, drink water, put it back in. So maybe it's that I'm laying down while doing it.
Okay, do you sit up at all, or are you able to access the mini fridge from a lying down position?
No, I don't.
He has a crazy straw.
Yeah, I get a big giant straw.
I don't sit up. No,
okay,
that would be
so
stupid. That would negate the point of having
how can you
a
even
fridge.
Drink laying down?
Oh, you can do it.
I think I figured out your reflux. I think it's probably going places in your body it's not supposed to go.
Well, it happens even during the day. I just don't drink as much water during the day. I drink soda and milk, as you know.
Oh, why don't you start drinking everything all day laying down?
Okay.
I would really personally enjoy that.
I'm going to get you a crazy straw. You seem like a crazy straw guy.
I would drink out of a crazy straw.
I used to love those as a kid, and then you would finally get one of your own and take it home and then drink like chocolate milk or something, and then it would get stuck in the straw.
I'm fine with that, or I'm fine with just laying on the table out there outside of Andrew's desk, and you guys just pulling
like
things
it.
In my mouth.
Or whatever. Yeah. Like
see how long
drink.
It takes
you
until I get
an attraction.
Yeah.
You guys, I have an update on TikTok. Remember I brought this up the other day, and I'm like, what the heck is TikTok?
Yes.
So Nick on Twitter says,
app.
Yes, the app.
Okay.
Not the whoever you were talking about. It's the new Vine, so it's just short videos like that. I saw another TikTok the other day. Someone please explain to me what the point of this is. It was just someone vacuuming their home, but then whenever they would run the vacuum over the carpet or the pillow or whatever, a ton of dirt would come out, so it was kind of satisfying to watch, but I didn't get the point other than that. Then they switched to vacuuming, it had to have been in like Japan or something, large stuffed cigarettes, and then vacuuming the dirt out of those. I'm just like, what is happening?
Why was everything so dirty?
I don't know. I think the point was to so you could be satisfied by watching the dirt be sucked out of it, but it's strange. Have you seen all of these satisfying videos that they post on like video on YouTube and Snapchat? You know what I'm talking
about?
Have you guys
talked about the ones, because these are a couple years old, so I may be late to the game, where they just talk real low.
That's ASMR.
That has a name.
Yes.
And they just go...
Yeah, it's so gross.
It is gross.
Well, they have other
you
ones.
You just did the worst version of it ever.
I don't
That's
even like listening
is,
to
though.
Myself do it. No, but they also have videos where it's just like the kids have the slime and then you just squish the slime and all you see is their hands squishing into the slime. And it's like, I kind of enjoy watching it, but I couldn't explain to you why.
You watch those videos, don't you? Those ASMR videos or whatever?
Oh, God, no. They drive me crazy.
Oh, good.
I can't watch 5 seconds of one.
Me either.
You know what I'm just sitting here thinking is what's kept humanity having any dignity at all, I've come to the conclusion, is simply separation. The fact that I have a theory that the more you get to know someone, the less you like them. Just everyone. And I think just globally, we only could put up with each other and had any respect for each other or ourselves because we didn't know each other that well. We didn't see everything that we did and everything we thought. Now that the internet has given us full access to create meaningless, dumb things and consume them, now we just realize what a ridiculous species we are.
You don't think it makes you feel better about your weird idiosyncrasies?
No, I think it's a net loss. I think I feel worse about humanity than I ever have. And not so much like we have serial killers and rapists. I've always known that. But the overall temperature of how stupid and meaningless we are has gone up a lot with me.
Is it because you see the worst of other people or you see the worst about yourself reflected in other people?
I know you keep digging for this, but no, I've always known the worst about myself. And it's not even seeing the worst about other people. It's the mundane stupid stuff. It is the vast expanse of banality. That's what it is to me. It's not like, oh my God, look what this guy did. It's the fact that there are billions and billions of examples of just how really dumb we are.
But what's the worst thing that you've ever done in your life?
Yeah, I mean...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.